This is the last straw, God damn it! Ron Padgett's words rumbled down the street like a thunderclap, startling cats and scattering birds, shattering the delicate peace of the morning. In the distance, a dog barked uneasily. God damn it! Martha, look what that sidewinder's done now! Saturday morning was a hallowed time for Padgett, and under normal circumstances, his routine was unshakable. At 7, he would stretch, plant a kiss on his wife's cheek, then shower, shave, and dress. By some act of womanly magic, Martha would have breakfast ready by the time he got downstairs. Afterwards, he would brush his teeth, re-slick his hair, and offer a fatherly wisecrack to the boys as they sat rapt at the fuzzy wonder of TV in the lounge. On his way through the kitchen, he would grab his wife's behind and growl, "Best ass in Chiqua Falls," before snatching his clubs and stepping into a world that was still held in glorious suspension, with the sun warming hundreds of emerald lawns and perfectly smooth concrete drives. This ritual complete, Padgett would turn to face his garage, pull a small box from his pocket, and press the single red button it housed, at which point the door would rise slowly, almost languorously, like a beautiful woman stretching awake in bed, to reveal the crown of all this manna, a brand new 57 Buick Riviera, purchased with a bank loan at favorable rates, final confirmation that through some happy accident, the future really had become now. Only this morning, the door didn't rise, at least not completely. Instead, it traced a little over half its usual arc, then stopped and shivered, quavered in the way of a huge lip trembling. Padgett's humiliation was unbearable, made worse by his instant recognition of its source. Under his breath, he uttered a single word. Wazowski. Martha emerged from the house. What's wrong, dear?
Wazowski.
Martha glanced at the garage door, then back at her husband. Ron, I don't think...
Wazowski!
Bill Wazowski, the one blot on Padgett's landscape. The indolent, insolent next-door neighbor whose ancient Ford was an eyesore, whose prissy kiss curl was ridiculous, and whose wife, worse yet, was studying for a PhD in psychology and often seemed to look at Padgett funny. The mockery in Wazowski's eyes upon hearing of his neighbor's recent promotion had been there for all to see, as had his un-American lack of interest in the open sesame electromatic self-levitating garage door which had arrived a few weeks ago. The man was a virtual beat whose envy of Padgett was inevitable. Yet who would have foreseen this, his resort to deliberate sabotage?
Morning, Ron. What's up? The robots misbehaving?
God damn it, Wazowski. This is the last straw. Wazowski lowered the pipe and raised his eyebrows in unnerving symmetry.
I'm afraid I don't know what you mean, Ron.
I know you've got that thing up there.
What, the shortwave radio?
And you're using it to block the signal to this door. It's obvious. Wazowski's brows rose further still until they almost merged with the kiss curl. He said,
Ron, the set's broken. It's not blocking anything. Could it be that your door is just broke too?
Listen, you... But before Padgett could finish, Martha rushed out, waving her arms. Darling, it's not Bill. They've just announced on the radio. It's the Russians.
Excuse me, Martha?
The Russians!
The Russians are attacking my garage?
No! Everybody's garage! They put a satellite in space last night, and it's beaming down a mysterious signal. Now, automatic doors are going crazy. Dear, the toaster was burning everything this morning. Do you think that could be the Russians, too?
So let me get this straight, Bill Wazowski interjected. The communists are attacking America through domestic appliances?
Well, sure, why not? Paget blustered. If you want to demoralize America, where better to start? Martha, I want you to avoid the vacuum cleaner until further. The vacuum cleaner? Oh my God! With his morning idyll destroyed by communists, Paget decided against golf. He listened agitatedly to the news for as long as he could manage, then spent several hours finishing off the redwood fence he'd begun to erect in the front yard, while Martha and the kids remained safely inside. With the Soviets roving space, it seemed to Paget that anything could happen. At approximately 2 p.m., Bill Wazowski came out to tinker with the Ford, pipe still dangling, and as Paget watched his neighbor squint into the engine compartment, he felt shamed by his earlier outburst. Ron was no more inclined to apology than he was to doing the twist, but this was a time for togetherness and cooperation among his countrymen, not division. President Eisenhower had assured Americans that the new Soviet satellite, Sputnik 1, posed no immediate threat to them. But as soon as he'd bumbled off in the presidential golf cart, grim-voiced radio announcers raised the prospect of an orbiting bomb hanging over Americans like the sword of Damocles. The open sesame electromatic self-levitating garage door remained shut for the rest of the day. According to the news, FBI and CIA agents were engaged in a race to decipher the inscrutable bleep 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 Sputnik emitted as it passed overhead. As Paget worked, he felt angry and frightened in equal measure. He sauntered over the grass verge that separated the two properties.
"Car trouble, Bill?"
he asked as casually as he could.
"A bit of knocking somewhere." "Huh, American workmanship for you." "Yeah, no wonder the Ruskies got into space first, huh?"
The men regarded the Ford's rattling engine in silence for a few moments, as if gazing into a crystal ball.
"Even the name's a little sinister, don't you think?"
Wazowski finally offered with a brush of pipe stem against chin.
"Sputnik. Sounds like a treatment for hemorrhoids."
There was more talk of the Russian menace, the threat to the American way of life, the befuddlement of their leaders and failure of domestic science and technology, and as the pair warmed to their subject, a strange thing happened. They began to enjoy themselves. As they tinkered and talked, a shared sense of purpose grew between the two men, until Paget found himself on the very brink of inviting his neighbor round for cocktails that evening. Before he could, however, the other man's attention was drawn away by the arrival of his eldest daughter, Betty, and a gaggle of her girlfriends. They were eating big, pointy ice creams smothered in red syrup. Wazowski stared, then frowned.
"Where on earth did you get those, Elizabeth?"
Betty giggled and looked at her friends.
"At Raffetto's, Dad. They're called Sputniks. Mr. Raffetto's making them specially. Aren't they dreamy?"
One of the girls trilled.
"Yeah, do you want a lick, Mr. Wazowski?"
And the group convulsed with laughter. Wazowski blushed. His blood was boiling. He pointed to his front door.
"Elizabeth, inside, now. Sputnik is not a joke."
And another voice announced,
"No, Mr. Wazowski, it's a dance."
Upon which cue, the girls fell into two lines and began to gyrate wildly, allowing their long skirts to twirl above knee height, causing Ron Paget to mutter, "You see, Bill, this is what happens when you allow Elvis Presley into your house." He raised his voice to its normal pitch.
"Girls, that's enough. Russian satellites are not something to laugh about or name dances after."
"But Mr. Raffetto says it's exciting,"
Betty countered as she trudged miserably across the lawn, drawing a
"Don't talk back to grown-ups, Elizabeth," from her father.
"No, Betty," said Paget. "That thing is up there right now, beaming down a signal which is no doubt aimed at destroying the way of life you're lucky enough to take for granted. The best brains in America have been trying to work out what Sputnik is saying, but we still don't know. In all probability, garage doors are just the beginning." A new voice rose above the others.
"Actually, Ron, we do know what she's saying."
Brenda Wazowski was leaning against her own door jamb.
"Oh, is that right, Brenda? So what is Sputnik saying?" "Ron, What she's saying is, bleep, bleep, bleep.
The girls collapsed with laughter again, and even Bill Wazowski smiled.
There's no secret code. The Russians aren't trying to brainwash us or destroy your gadgets, Ron. It's just a bleep. Your precious door might need reprogramming, that's all.
Is that right? And how do you know all this, Brenda?
They've just announced it on the radio. I think you two are crazy. I mean, aren't you at all curious about what's up there? This is the first man-made object in space, for God's sake. It's exciting. And all you can do is worry? The word Sputnik means fellow traveler in Russian. I think that's beautiful.
And with that, Brenda Wazowski turned and re-entered her house, leaving the two men to gaze at each other sheepishly, hands in pockets, appetites for tinkering suddenly withered.
"Well, I guess she's right, Ron," said Bill Wazowski. "Maybe we did jump the gun a little."
"I guess so," came the reply. "You know, it is kind of exciting when you think about it."
And yet something valuable had come of the panic. Here Ron was, conversing amiably with his once despised neighbor, feeling nothing but generosity even towards the other man's prissy hairdo. It seemed clear to him that this new spirit of togetherness must be preserved. The cocktail invitation must go forth.
"Hey, Bill," he began, "I was thinking, why don't you and..."
Just then, Brenda Wazowski, smiling sweetly, leaned out of her front door.
"By the way, Bill," she sang, "did you mean to leave your shortwave set on all this time? Do you want me to switch it off?"
Bill Wazowski flushed. He shuffled his feet.
No, dear, don't worry.
Ron Padgett's eyes flashed.
"So, Bill, I thought the set was broken."
"Well, yeah, it was, Ron, but, you know, sometimes it... Isn't that something? A miracle, almost."
Wazowski began to back away towards his front door as Padgett drew himself up to his full height.
"Wazowski."
"Okay, it was nice talking to you, Ron. Hey, maybe a round of golf sometime?"
"Yeah, give me a call."
"No, listen, I'll call you."
He was running now.
"God damn it, Wazowski!"
"Gotta go, Ron."
Wazowski's front door slammed shut, and for the first time since morning, there was peace. Ron Padgett turned to face his garage, drew the remote controller from his pocket, and pressed the red button it housed. He watched as the automatic door traced a little over half its normal arc, then stopped, shivered, quivered in space, like a huge lip trembling. Chuckling softly, he sauntered back to the house and slipped indoors.
Thank you.